Hey mamas, welcome to the Raising Rich podcast with your favorite mother-daughter duo, Jo and Lane. Join us as we take you on the roller coaster ride that has been my mum's life with money.
Yes, I'll be opening up about the taboo topic of money, from bankruptcy to a six-figure income and all the heartache in between. So if you're a single mama out there trying to figure it all out, then this podcast is for you.
Join us for all the ups
and all the downs on Raising Rich.
Welcome to the couch.
Thanks, Mum.
Episode one. Let's go on my roller coaster ride with money throughout my life, shall we?
That would be a fun place to start. I think it would be good to maybe have a chat about what it was like for you growing up, because I know that your dad, my opa, was an immigrant.
So he came out from the Netherlands when he was 16, and he was a fitter and turner, and he came out with his parents and his brother and sister. I know, as an immigrant, from talking to a lot of people, they talk about how Australia was just the lucky country and it gave them the opportunity to really be able to make a different life for themselves. They had come out, or they'd gone, my grandparents had gone through the war, which was not a pleasant time. And my father, being the firstborn, nearly passed away because they had no food, no money to purchase food. Mm. And they were really living off rations. So when the opportunity came up to move to Australia, obviously my grandparents took that. And my dad came out when he was all of 16. Fast forward a couple of years, he met my mum. And my mum was actually working at the time, which is very interesting because back in the 1970s, mums actually didn't work. Yeah. They stayed at home and looked after the children.
Aren't you, Nan? Do you know what her first job was?
She was a receptionist.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Actually, she was a receptionist her entire life. So, but going through school, having both parents working and the opportunities that I was given. So we went on overseas holidays, which was, you know, we were very lucky to be able to do that. But the house that I lived in, we had a swimming pool that had a slide. They had a bar room with a dance floor. Like, get out. Who has that in the 70s? Yeah. Well, it was the 70s.
Not in your house, at the club.
Yeah, and they had a spa and, you know, all the backyard was immaculately presented. We had this posh kitchen area and dining room where we had a step down into that area. So any of my friends that came to visit would always remark, oh, you're so rich, you're so wealthy. I don't think I understood money because we never talked about it and it wasn't pushed in my face. I will say that I never wanted for anything. Like, you know, if the latest bicycle came out, I got it. And, you know, one time I left my bike at a soccer club that was just down the road where my dad was a player. And one day, you know, I just left it there by accident, walked home and went back to get it the next day and it had been stolen. And my dad actually just took me down to the bike shop and bought a brand new bike.
Mm.
So it was like, oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot to lock it up. It's gone. And that was it. And I copied. This is interesting because now obviously I look back on my life and my relationship with money and my relationship with my girlfriends, because I actually felt like I missed out because their mums were at home with them.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So as much as we had wealth and could purchase anything, I was very jealous of my two best friends, Sharon and Karen.
Yeah. You know, Shaz and
Kaz. Shaz and Kaza. And if anyone knows a Kaza, yes, no, she was not like that. She was lovely. But they had these beautiful, and I'll call them, the brand was Malvern Star Bikes, and they were a red, orange sort of fire color. And that was the first thing that I wanted after my last bike was stolen. I just wanted to be like them. So I didn't think of us as wealthy, no. It was only that my friends would tell me that we must be wealthy because we were literally the only family in the area to have a swimming pool and a spa and a slide and, you know, an outdoor play area. But, you know, moving forward on that, in terms of, you know, I became a teenager and I never had to have a part-time job. I got given pocket money.
What was your first part-time job?
My first part-time job was working at an Aussie disposal store.
Oh, my God.
Could you see me?
No, I could not. Not today.
Can I cut some rope for you? Can I show you our latest tents or swags? Like, I've never camped. I don't think I've ever camped in my life. Like,
I don't know, like, when I talk about you camping.
There's no such thing. It's an oxymoron.
The only stars that my mum camps under are 5 stars. That's...
Boom. Yeah, no. So that was my first part-time job as a little 15, 16-year-old. And I remember getting my first pay packet and seeing the other girl get her pay packet. I worked a Friday night and a Saturday morning. Now, this is, early 80s, mid-80s, and I got $28. And the other girl that was working there, she was 18, I think, and she might have got $63. And I was so miffed because I thought, well, I do just as good a job. I probably did not. But, you know, anyway, that was my first job working at Aussie Disposals. But I didn't actually have to get a job. My parents never told me. It was something that I just kind of felt like I wanted to do, because I felt like their $25 a week, mind you, like that's a lot in those days, considering I had to work Friday nights and Saturday mornings to earn 28. That was a lot of money. It would go straight into a bank account, and I literally really just saved because I got given everything.
Yeah, you didn't need to spend that $25 dues.
I did not. But you know what I would do? So this is my entrepreneur dad. Save. So I would. And my spend, Mama B. Hello, Mum. Rest in peace. Love you. Miss you. Every Saturday was our spend day at the shops, when the shops were only open 9 till 12:30 on a Saturday morning. Like, could you live with that now?
I don't know. It's so interesting because I bring it up all the time. Like, shops never used to be open on Sundays. Now they are. They were only open till midday on Saturdays. Now they're open all the time.
Yes.
Public holidays, they used to be closed, but now they open up at a certain time. Like,
So Saturday morning was our spend morning.
Yeah.
And we would go to the shops every Saturday morning, my mum and I. My dad would be at the soccer club. And we would spend. We would do our grocery shopping, and then we would just buy things, buy clothes. Mum was a member of Bevel's Jewels.
Ooh.
Or Bevel's Jewelry. Ooh, look out. But you know, she was always dripping in gorgeous jewelry. She was, people probably don't know this lady, Jeannie Little, but she was just the most gorgeous, loving, caring, hilarious personality who dripped in beautiful jewelry and wore fabulous makeup. Mm. And my mama was always like that. And everybody loved mum for her presentation, her appearance, and just that when she entered a room, everyone knew, you know, Kez was there.
Yeah.
Nana Kez, Auntie Kez, Keza, she was there, but she was always immaculate. And she had this membership at Bevel's Jewelers, and they knew us by name. Mum, what we would say, is like a moth to light when it comes to jewelry stores. She would just buy me things every week. Would you like this? Do you want to wear that? It wasn't until I was about 13 or 14 when I was getting my own style that I would actually say, oh, no, that's not for me. I just took everything. I was just like, oh, okay, yes, no worries. That's fine. And actually, while we're talking about that, I'm just thinking, one of my friends, their parents, she was my best friend. She was staying at my house that night. Her parents won Tats Lotto.
I remember you telling me this story. Okay, so break it down for us.
So we're at home. We get this phone call on the dial-up telephone because we don't have iPhones. Bring, bring. hello. Yes, is so-and-so there? Yes. We just won Tats Lotto. Well, we've never jumped in the car so fast because my parents were friends with her parents. We've gone over there and we've celebrated, obviously, the whole night.
You remember how much they won?
I do. Ooh. It was $194,000.
Back then?
Back then was, you know, woo-woo. that was a big party. But the family, and now looking back, I'm really pleased for them because they had tried to have their own disposal store, believe it or not. And it had given them financial hardship. And I think that they did have to go into bankruptcy and they were still trying to pay that off. So it was such a beautiful gift for them. But I remember going out shopping with them and their mum bought me a pair of jeans. 3/4 length pink pastel with the zip up the side. Remember it clearly because my best friend got a blue pair. But I remember thinking, wow, like I wasn't ungrateful, but I thought if I won that much money, I would have spent so much more at the shops, so much. But I think that's because they had experienced hardship with money and they knew that being spendy as such, or spending an exorbitant amount of money in one go, was just not on.
Yeah.
And I had never experienced that.
Mm. Plus also you weren't really their kid. So
I wasn't their kid. No, but I was like their kid. You know, when you have your children's best friends, you do treat them like your kid. And you know, I personally think, I'd probably spend money on my children's best friends. With the exception, no. Sorry. No, I love my children's friends. Anyway, I digress. So aside from pocket money, I also got money for good school reports. Now, this was bizarre. Not getting money for a good school report was bizarre, but the amount was bizarre.
Yeah, because you're a pretty good student, weren't you?
Very. And I was very happy to be a good student. It was kind of like rewarding someone for being good at something when they're already good at something. Like it doesn't make sense, does it? In terms of, like, I was already a straight A student. Mm. So saying to me, I'm going to give you $50 per A. That's money for jam, you know. But yeah, my dad would always give me $50 for an A, $25 for a B, and nothing for a C, because C was not, like, back then, A, B, and C. Then we had D, E, F. F meant you failed. So C actually meant you were a little bit above average. And Dad just kind of wasn't really into that. Does that make sense?
Just put it nicely. He wasn't really into you being above average, but, like, you know.
Academic-wise. But I think they also knew at school I was a smart cookie, and so I should always try to achieve the higher goals, which has definitely served me purpose, you know, in later life, going to university. So, you know, and achieving the high distinctions and getting the scholarship for uni when I was a broke mum, but that's later down the track when we get into those episodes. But yeah, so I would get pocket money weekly and I would get money for school reports, not really having to save for anything. And let's just top that off with your very first car.
Oh, yeah. I know for me, my first car I had to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure Dad matched whatever I saved.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at Baker's Delight. It was $8 an hour. So I didn't really have a lot of savings going on back then. So, but I know that I basically purchased my first car for like maybe 2,000 Australian dollars, which compared to all of my friends, a lot of my friends had their first car bought for them. Did you buy your first car or?
No.
You didn't buy your first car?
I did not. No, my dad bought the first car. And back then, and can I be honest, I bought it because it had the best stereo system in it. It was a bright orange Datsun 180B with a white roof. Get out. And I was the only kid at school that could drive to school because I was an early 18-year-old. And I would drive to school with Kylie Minogue's "Come On, Come On and Do the Locomotion with Me" as loud as I possibly could. And I just thought I was the bee's knees. But no, I didn't have to pay for that car. And not long after that, the car kind of broke down and I had my eye on yet another car. So the first car was $3,500, which
back then.
Mm-hmm. 2 years later, I wanted a Ford Meteor. So I bought, the deal was, so here was the deal. We will purchase the car for you. You pay us back. Okay. So the car was $7,500.
Oh my God.
Yes. Back then, a brand new car, the Ford Meteors were just under 10,000. So this was secondhand. But once again, I didn't have to pay for it. Well, my parents said, pay me back. You can pay us back $100 a week or whatever, because at that time I was working. Realistically, I probably paid back maybe $2,000 of that car, and yeah, no more than that. And Dad occasionally had a couple of digs, oh, you still got that car that I paid for, oh, bless him. But yeah, there was never really any pressure to save money. It was kind of like, no, you're our child and we want to provide for you. And I took that on board, but I did always have this mentality, and I'm not saying it's from my parents. I'm actually wondering whether it is from primary school and the stories that were told to us about, and I always remember Cinderella and Prince Charming coming along with the glass slipper. To me, the glass slipper signified money and wealth. And I just kind of envisaged that I would get married, I would be a stay-at-home mum, bringing up beautiful children. I did well with, a couple of those things. I might have tried to find Prince Charming a couple of times, but I just had that vision that that's where my life would go, that I would be happily married. I might work a little part-time job, I'd look after beautiful children, and my life would be set. I'd never have to want for anything because my husband would be a good provider. And I actually don't know where that Cinderella syndrome came from, because as I said to you at the start, both my parents work. When I talked about being jealous of my friends who had mums that stayed at home, that was something that I always had in the back of my mind. And the funny thing is now when I look back, my two best friends, Sharon and Karen, well, actually, Sharon's mum worked night shift.
Oh,
So
right on.
she was home during the day for Sharon. But what presented to me was that she had a beautiful pink lunchbox with a beautiful pink matching drink bottle, and she had a stunning lunch in her lunchbox every day. And my friend Karen, her mum was a single mum. So back in that day, that was really strange.
Very unheard of, I think.
Very, very. And yet Karen always had a beautiful lunchbox as well. I didn't. I had to make my own lunch every day. So love and money don't necessarily, they're not reflected in the same sentence for
No.
me. Does that make sense? To me, parents loved you if you had this amazing time spent on making a lunchbox.
Well, I guess like through the lens of a child, that's how you relay that.
And so having this Cinderella syndrome just stems from people who you are around, surrounded with, and what you view as valuable. Cinderella syndrome hasn't worked for me. But I'm here to tell you, as we go through these episodes, I'm hoping to connect with some single mamas out there who have been on this roller coaster ride of, and let me tell you, I've actually filed for bankruptcy. I've had to go through financial hardship. I've dated a multimillionaire, and I've grown my own business. So I've experienced all of this, like all of this ups and downs of money. And I want to say to the single mums out there, like, you're not alone. You're not the only person that's gone through this. And yes, it's hard. And I'm hoping that, we can walk through this next part of our journey together as we, develop our online business, as we develop a life of financial freedom, but also time freedom. And I've been a single mum almost my entire life, in terms of being a mum, from the time that you were three, I think. And now I get to spend all this joyous time with my children as adults. So, yeah, folks, hang around and enjoy the roller coaster ride.
I want to kind of backtrack a little bit because I wanted to talk about, you were saying that I don't really know where this like ideology with money kind of stemmed from, but Now that you're older, obviously you have brothers and sisters, but back then, and this is obviously a story for another day, but you were an only child for a
Oh,
long period of time.
yes.
Like your parents didn't really have money to, I guess, spend on anyone else other than themselves and you.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying there. And I guess too, back in that day, having two incomes was just huge. So just a little tidbit. So my mum was married before meeting my dad, and she chose to leave the children with their dad and decided to start a life with my dad. And I did have a very different upbringing to my brothers and sister. And they have said to me that they were jealous of my lifestyle, and that but they know that it wasn't that's not my fault. So I get where they're coming from as well. Where did this ideology come from? I guess as I started to grow up, I did start to see that we had money compared to everybody else, and I liked it. Why not? I guess I just wanted that marriage. I wanted the big family. I wanted the normal family with the 3.5 children, the dogs, the car, the house. And so maybe it was an ideology that I'd made up in my own head.
I guess you didn't really get that as a child growing up.
Get what, sorry?
Like, yes, you had parents that were together, but you didn't have siblings. Eventually they separated. Your mum had a relationship before and had children before. So you were from like this household that was a little bit kind of all over the place.
And I guess to being an only child, like you say, my parents really had just money to spend on me, didn't they? Yeah. And the sad thing is, as comfortable as they were, I'm not going to say wealthy, because I would probably class them as comfortable. It was really sad when my parents divorced. They did have the opportunity to move forward and still live a comfortable lifestyle. And neither of them have. It's really interesting. I guess also there weren't opportunities like there are now in terms of making money and making wealth. But my dad was always very good at making money, being that entrepreneur, being the business owner. Mum, unfortunately, divorcing and having mental health issues, she was no longer able to work. So her back then, there was no superannuation or 401ks or whatever they call them now. There was nothing like that for women. So my mum retired. I cannot believe this, but she had $8,000 in her bank account, or in her superannuation. She just had enough money to purchase a house, but realistically, to pay that house off was going to really be a struggle. But then with her mental health issues, she ended up in a nursing home with early onset dementia, and all her money from her house that she had went into looking after her in her later years. And that's one thing now that I look at. I do not want to be renting. I want to be owning my own home. I don't want a landlord to be able to take a house off me. My father has since remarried, and they live in a small, humble unit. And I guess dad, he can pay for holidays, and he does go when he wants, but his lifestyle is actually quite different to what it was like. He didn't grow past that divorce. But yeah, they had just the money to spend on me. So I guess, yeah, I was lucky in that sense.
Well, next episode, I'm looking forward to having a little bit more of a deep dive.
All right,
Stay
well,
tuned, everyone.
hopefully, yeah, we've connected with someone, and we'd love for you to join us again on our next episode of Raising Rich. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Raising Rich. If any of today's episode has resonated with you, we'd love for you to share it with another mama. It really helps us to connect with the right women.
And if you would like to share your story, you can connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Just search for rich.ripple.effect.
Is it time for a wine yet?
Oh, mum.
Oh, what?